Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to our first R-rated movie review as we discuss Deadpool here on Nerdy Notions with Sasha Kaplan.
And just like the Merc with the Mouth, this movie, or this podcast, is also not safe for work.
Wait, we're a movie now?
I corrected myself and said podcast. Shush. So, oh God, let's just get started with this movie. There's no intro necessary. This was a long time coming because Ryan Reynolds hated what happened to Deadpool in Origins. We all hated it. It was stupid, blah, 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 blah. Let's move on. So, a 20th Century Fox production. We see a car sort of turning and it's slow motion. Galore. It's kind of like a reference galore situation.
It's a magnificent way of doing the opening credits where they make fun of almost everybody who's involved in the film.
So this is a, I can't read my own handwriting. Some D-bags film starring this idiot, a hot chick, a British villain. You see British villain. You see a Green Lantern cart flying, which was hilarious. You also have the comic relief, a moody teen, a cool character.
That was a cool CGI character.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, cool CGI character. Glorious cameo, produced by assholes, written by the real heroes here, directed by an overrated tool. So I actually really like this. I think it set the tone. I think this should have really set the tone for the movie, but it doesn't. And I will explain why I think that as we move forward. So remind me to take it back to the credits when I'm done. So we open in with Deadpool in a taxi. And there he's hunting a guy. Wow, I really can't read my own handwriting today. I don't know why. But anyway, so he's in a taxi and he's talking to this guy named Dipinder about like where he's going. And Dipinder tells him that there's this girl named Geeta and his cousin or somebody's trying to steal her. And Deadpool gives him some really great advice. Really, just amazing advice. Let's see. Deadpool has an Adventure Time watch, and he's going after a guy who did this to him.
And what was this to him?
I'm guessing whatever happened to his face. So there's some men, and we find out that about some deal. There's some money being exchanged. There's an evil British dude delivering, and the guy he delivers to says something about fucking mutants. Not the act of fucking mutants, but like fuck mutants. Just to clarify the language here, because of this movie, you never know. Literally. So Deadpool, as it turns out, only has 12 rounds because I guess he forgot the extra ammo or left it in the taxi or whatever.
He left the ammo by accident in the taxi.
Yeah, which is going to be a recurring thing. And then he also has no cash to pay the taxi driver. I feel bad for this guy.
But so, he was able to give him a crisp high five.
Oh my God, a high five is not going to pay the bills, okay? And how is he going to explain to his boss that, like, there's no cash for this ride? I don't know how taxis work. Anyway, so Deadpool is hanging on the edge of the highway. He's sketching like a two-year-old, and he turns to the camera. And he apparently had to fondle Wolverine's balls to get this movie, or Hugh Jackman, or whatever. So we see
the exact line is, "I know what you're wondering, whose balls did I had to whatever it was
fondle?
Whose balls did I have to fondle to get this film? I'll give you a hint. It rhymes with Wolverine."
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I love this movie.
Someone has to. He's dragged down to cars. He starts kicking butt. Wade wants a dude named Francis. then there's this cool moment of like the car and the motorcycle. There's a good use of slow motion. So we sort of take us back to how we ended up in the scene where everything is in slow motion and turned over. Part of the scene where he fights in the car was actually the test footage of Deadpool that like turned fandom into a frenzy.
And also there's a really nice Easter egg in there too, because the first time that Deadpool has his head hit into the stereo, it's the Batman 66 sound where it goes da-da-da-da-da-da-da, like.
I will say that this is a good use of slow motion. It's not as draggy as other forms. It's just where you need it and it's gone the next, so it's not to drag it down. So then we go to the X-Men school where Peter is watching the news. And he grabs somebody named Negasonic. Peter apparently wants Deadpool to join the X-Men. Why? I don't think Deadpool should, this version of Deadpool should not be allowed within 500 feet of children. So why would you want him at this school with a bunch of impressionable teenagers who are already, who are going to be traumatized enough without his input?
I'm going to keep that in mind, that 500 feet away from children line. I'm keeping that in mind for the end of this episode.
I know why you're going to keep it, because Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool went to visit sick kids as Deadpool in the suit and whatever.
No.
No?
No.
All right, then, whatever. So we see somebody named Negasonic. She's a moody teenager. And as they're walking towards the plane, they're like, you know, what is the benefit of joining the school? Like, the yellow suits or your house being blown up every other year? I'm like, the copious amount of trauma, that's the benefit. And you get to hang out with kids with other crazy powers in the hopes that, like, one of you doesn't turn out evil, get brainwashed, get killed, then get brought back, then brainwashed. Or everybody just gets killed because why not? There's too many mutants around. Comics, people! Or a deadly legacy virus attacks you. Or a Terrigen cloud. Or some other disease, or a mutant, or no longer retconned mutant says no more mutants, and half the mutant population is depowered. Like, anyway. Colossus' design is honestly kind of disappointing. It's a little clunky. Like, despite the fact that poor Colossus barely had any lines, if he had any lines in X2 and X3, the design there was very, very slick, and I really liked what they did with it. Here, it just doesn't look that great. So Colossus is also like, why is Colossus eating cereal in his metal form? He shifts back and forth. I guess budget. Because apparently this had the lowest budget of any X film at this point. So the back to the highway, Deadpool gets shot through a car, which is kind of cool. Why the red suit? Because so bad guys don't see him bleed. We see the 12 bullet countdown. I like how the hole in his arm just like starts healing. That was a pretty cool shot. There's a bad Deadpool, good Deadpool situation, but sues the dude's hand mid-grenade, which was kind of cool. Deadpool will be touching himself tonight. Okay, I'm gonna ask this now because this is the first of a trend. Why the fuck are there so many masturbation jokes in this movie?
Because it's Deadpool.
No, it's not. Like seriously. Like, granted, I have not read my fair share of Deadpool comics. And after watching this movie, I don't want to.
So it's kind of well known that Deadpool is a very over-sexual person. And they've even come out and stated that he actually identifies as bisexual.
Pansexual, actually. But that's beside the point. He's
always been that type of character.
Honestly, I disagree. But again, I don't care. And I haven't read that much Deadpool. But that being said, you can make tweaks to a character. He can still be very sexually liberated and, you know, not make so many masturbation jokes. Like, one, two, it's enough. Like, you can be a sexually non-caring, like, a shit character, but it's just, it's too much. It's like, half this movie is about sex. Like, if you wanted to shoot a Deadpool porno, just shoot a Deadpool porno and leave me alone. Last guy killed gets better, but doesn't last long. We get a hint that this movie is a love story started by murder. So then we have a flashback, and the flashback sequences are interesting to say the least. So Wade works as a gun for hire, sort of, and he is like in this dude's apartment waiting for pizza to be delivered. And it looks like he's coming after the dude in the apartment, but then whoops-a-daisy, and this is actually a really good sequence. I like this scene. Turns out he's actually after the pizza guy because the pizza guy is stalking the girl that hired Deadpool. So Deadpool apparently does favors for sorority girls. Good for him. See, funny.
You end up finding out where he really gets the jobs from.
I know. It's from T.J. Miller's character, who's a weasel and a bartender or whatever. But
yeah,
it's funny. Like, Deadpool doing a hit and scaring the crap out of a stalker for some college girls, that's funny. 50 masturbation jokes? Not that funny. I'm sorry. They're not. Like, they're not.
I also like the fact that he makes fun of the homeowner at the same time, too.
Yeah.
And it's like, they're jeans. You don't need to bedazzle the holy hell out of them.
Let's see. Pizza guy stalker. Wade scares the ever-loving crap out of the stalker guy. And then he brings a pic to the girl, gets a hug. And basically we find out that Wade is a bad guy. And he gets paid to fuck up the guys that are worse than him. And then he orders something called a blowjob, which is Kahlua, Bailey's, and whipped cream.
And he tells the waitress to give it to Buck and say it's from somebody else to start a fight.
So this is where we find out two things. We find out that there's a dead pool, a pool of when somebody will get killed. And we also meet TJ Miller's character, who is Weasel and is like Wade's only friend. That's it. And he's a bartender of like a bar for people that are guns for hire. And he does a pretty good job. It's a pretty like hopping bar. Clearly it's popular. He's making bank. So like, good for him. And he's also the one that gives him little gold cards that say his target and whatnot. All right. So Wade sends the blowjob to some dude named Buck. And says it's from Booth, causing a fight to kill Booth, but it doesn't involve in death, so nobody collects on the Deadpool. Literally. So then he meets a girl named Vanessa, and they sort of have this, like, my horse is worse than your horse kind of a moment of, like, who has a shittier life, which was kind of interesting. But we learned that, like, Vanessa, some dude, like, walks by and slaps her ass.
It's fun.
And don't care.
It was Buck that did it.
Okay. It doesn't matter. And she just like grabs him by the balls and waits for him to apologize. That was great. And then they play skee ball.
What did they call him though? As a joke. What did she call him when she grabbed him by the balls?
I don't remember.
Fat Gandalf.
Ah, right.
And then Wade was like, hey, let go of his Hakuna Matatas. You know, he apologized.
We find out that she is a hooker, exotic dancer, sex worker. I don't know what the like appropriate term is, so I apologize. Anyway, so they end up playing skee ball, even though the implication is that they have sex. But this ends up leading to, in my opinion, one of the most unnecessary scenes in this movie. It's just a year montage of them having sex.
Well, Not completely.
Pretty much. 95% of it is them having sex on like various holidays. I'm surprised there wasn't an Arbor Day joke in there.
Yeah, they did hit every holiday.
All the like Christmas, Valentine's Day, Women's Day,
Thanksgiving.
Guess Deadpool doesn't like being pegged. I don't care.
Halloween.
Whatever.
But yeah, they hit a lot of them.
So they get engaged on Christmas, but then just as they're about to go into this, just as Wade is relieving himself, he passes out. Turns out he has late stage cancer. I'm guessing being a hired gun doesn't come with health insurance. But it's important not to do anything rash as he sort of, it kind of transitions to don't do anything rash to him kind of slicing through a guy looking for Francis. Then he throws a guy off a motorcycle with his sword. That was actually pretty cool. He stabs Francis. That's Francis. And we find out that Francis is the guy that made Wade, like, he looks under the mask. And there's a joke about him being a mix of being bitten by a radioactive Sharpei or Shih Tzu or whatever. But it's interesting that, like, in the scene where Wade gets the news that he has cancer, we see that Vanessa's reaction is, like, aggressive. Like, let's fight this. What is the treatment? I'm like, how do you, like, I guess mercenaries must make good money because I can't imagine all of these treatments are going to be covered by non-existent health insurance. But whatever. These are the things I think about when I watch movies, folks. And Wade is clearly still processing. And we don't really get a chance to fully understand of, like, how much of treatment he goes through, if any, before things
hit the fan. A lot of that was in the deleted scenes because there were stuff where he actually, fast forward a little bit, you know how he goes over some of the brochures for cancer treatment with Weasel? So they actually, in the deleted scenes, show a couple of them. One of them that I remember off the top of my head being them going to Mexico, where they actually see a doctor and the doctor just cuts into the people and just grabs where the cancerous tumors are and just pulls them out. And so, like, yeah, that's something, I think that was cut out for time, but some of that would have makes a little more sense when you see, oh, these are some of the treatments that he.
See, they could have easily cut like parts of the sex montage and inserted that into the film instead if they had a time frame. Because, like, I feel like that scene had significantly more value than just a montage of them having sex. Because the point of this whole thing is to show that Vanessa and Wade had a serious relationship. I didn't get any of that. There's nothing up until he gets cancer. There's really nothing shown. So it's like skee-ball and a Voltron ring and some tickets to sex montage to getting engaged. Like, it's just, it's not really doing a good enough job for me to illustrate why I'm supposed to care about, like, Wade's thing with Vanessa. Anyway. Wade wants Francis to undo what he did to him that resulted in his face, his body, his everything being the way that it is. But then right as he's about to kill, or I guess stab him further, Peter shows up and stabs him. So then we get another flashback. Vanessa doesn't want Wade to leave, but he kind of doesn't want her to suffer with him. Vanessa wants to stay, says she loves him. They sort of have a fight. Then he goes to the bar and talks to Weasel about the brochures. And apparently there's all these experimental treatments in China, Chechnya, and Mexico. Those are places where you really want to go to fight cancer. That's the places, at least two of those are not places you want to be, period. So Weasel gives him some dude's card to further the plot. And there's this dude who's one of the actors from Galaxy Quest, funny enough. And he's sitting there awkwardly, and he says that he wants to recruit Wade for an organization that could cure him and give him abilities. Because they need soldiers. Because what we know is Wade is like, we find a little bit later that Wade was like a special forces, dishonorably discharged mercenary shtick thing. So Wade tells him no, but has a second thoughts. He packs up and leaves and accepts the guy's offer. So then he goes about the pros and cons of the superhero thing. And this is where Colossus tries to do the whole great... He tries to do a version of the great powers, great responsibilities shtick, but it doesn't work. Wade likes Negasonic Teenage Warhead. That is her name. Because she's kind of has this, like, she's either pouty and broody or mean. And he's like, these are your two settings. Which one is it going to be? That was funny. Let's see. And he makes a crack about nobody's getting hurt and the guy just falls off the overpass. That was funny.
That guy was already there. What are you talking about?
There's a crack about the Neverland Mansion. Negasonic Teenage Warhead. I'm just going to call her NTW because that's a mouthful.
We're just calling her Negasonic.
I like NTW better. But anyway, she calls him douche pool and Francis gets away. And then Deadpool gets pissed and breaks both his hands and his leg trying to punch Peter. This is very much kind of like a Monty Python situation where it's like, you know, he cuts his off, then like, who was it, Arthur or whatever, somebody like cuts off the Black Knight's.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, it's just a flesh wound.
Yep.
This is pretty much that.
Great scene. Great. There are some really great lines that came out of it too.
This is true. So Peter says they're going to talk to the professor, and he says McAvoy or Stewart. The timelines are confusing. Thank you for this, because as we stated in our Days of Future Past review, I have issues with this time travel plots and the shenanigans and all the BS. So that was actually a very nice way to poke fun at that. So thank you. So then he makes a reference to 127 hours and cuts off his hand to escape because Colossus the X-Men carry handcuffs.
Yeah, Colossus actually had him handcuffed to him.
Yeah. So Wade cuts his hand off. It was kind of gross, and it just falls into a garbage truck. So we go back to a flashback to a really sketchy-ass laboratory. Like, it's really sketchy. And he's like, okay, so you're going to give me superpowers. Don't make the suit green or animated. So they talk, there's hints that there's like, we see other mutants, and he gets strapped into this like bed. There's a tough nurse lady who's played by that lady who's in The Mandalorian.
Gina Carano,
thank you. So we meet Francis, who claims his name is Ajax, in this creepy facility. And basically he says, we're going to inject you with the serum that activates the X gene, and then we're going to put you through a whole shit ton of torture to activate the X gene. Fun! So Ajax was a patient, and the way his powers work is he has enhanced abilities, like senses and everything, or agility or some bullshit.
No, that's Gina Carano's. His is the, he doesn't really feel pain.
Right, but that's not a mutant power, that's a medical condition. He has some kind of enhanced, I think he said he has enhanced, no, she has super strength. He has like enhanced agility or whatever.
Yeah.
But point being, but as a result, he can't feel anything. All right, so his real name is Francis. So they torture and make him suffer. They like throw him into an ice box. They beat the shit out of him. They keep him in a cage, like, just to, like, rise up his stress levels. Then he talks to another patient named Cunningham when he's strapped into a bed, and then he's strapped to the other bed. Ajax threatens to sew Wade's mouth shut. Ha! Huh, where have we heard that before? So they put Wade into this, like, oxygen deprivation machine that is going to, like, activate the oxygen levels rise and fall or something, and depend on his ability to catch his breath. That's not how, to borrow a phrase from one of our VFTG co-hosts, that's not how science works. Because this whole, like, the oxygen deprivation tank is supposed to, like, put him in an enhanced state of fear and like, trigger the X-gene because he's literally suffocating, but not enough to actually kill him. And I'm like, It was also kind of unclear how his body transformed that way due to lack of oxygen. Like, you could have just put him, like, in some, like, I don't know. It was weird. It doesn't make sense to me.
So the way it's interpreted is that, you know, because of that oxygen chamber, is that because the stress levels hit so hard, that's when the X gene kicked in, and his skin going the way it did was an, a side effect of it, because he gained the healing factor. So he's able to heal himself, but he, but his skin kind of does what it did.
Yeah, nope, that's still a not how science works explanation to me. I'm sorry, that's a bullshit. That's like, even the comics had a better. If I remember correctly, in the comics, his cancer was, like, really, really progressive, and it had actually mutated his body to the point where his body is healing him, but is unable to, like, actually, like, he can't die, but it also can't heal his cancer because it was the healing factor came in after the cancer. See, that to me makes more of an explanation than this. But whatever.
Well, I mean, even when we get to the second film, and I think it's even a line where Ajax actually says it in this one, where it's put the cancer in remission.
Yes. Yeah, and then bullshit.
And then when we get to the second film, we actually see something that takes place, but we'll save it for when we get there.
I only watched that movie once. Actually, I've only seen this movie twice now. Like, I can't with these movies. I'm sorry, Ryan Reynolds, you're a gem, but I can't. So anyway, let's see. They mentioned Wade's dishonorable discharge. Francis confesses they make super slave, not super soldiers. And then they, like, sell them off to the highest bidder. I'm like, gee. A secret facility that is conducting illegal experiments on mutants is going to turn them into slaves? Gosh, I just didn't see that coming. Oh my gosh, what else could it have possibly been? So they turn the machine on, the lack of oxygen, the flux capacitors triggering cancer, stress levels, but bullshit science. So Wade's clear and attacking cancer, but it won't cure him. That's the side effects. That's what Mike just explained. I'm calling bullshit science. So we find out that, like, Wade had taken the tag off his Ajax's dry cleaning, and this is how we find out that his name is Francis, and he's really sensitive about his name. I'm guessing mommy didn't love him enough as a child. To be honest, if I knew how he would have turned out, I probably wouldn't have loved this child either. Like, Ajax is a creep, okay? That's not a face a mother could love. Let's see. So Francis is sensitive about his name. Wade steals a match from the nurse girl who Francis calls Angel. Find her name, please, so I know something to call her other than Angel or that girl or the older woman. I don't know. But anyway.
One sec.
Wade steals the match, and he uses it to trigger an explosion since he can heal now. So he fights with Francis, but he can't kill him because Francis says he can fix his ugly mug, so Wade can't kill him.
Her name is Angel Dust.
Okay, so it is Angel. Okay. So then he makes a crack about, so he hits slash stabs Wade with a piece of rhubarb pipe, and thinks, like, oh, that's the end. And so something around, like, what's my name? Fine, we get it. You have issues with your name being Francis. Like, we got it. This is like Mervin the sheriff all over again. So Wade is fine and goes to see Vanessa, but as he follows her home like a creepy stalker, we see that people are looking at him funny, and he chickens out. Weasel is sort of helpful, but also makes fun of how Weed looks. Wade needs a suit and a name, but they agree that they try Captain Deadpool, and that's just a mouthful. So Deadpool starts making a cheap white suit. That seems like a stupid thing to do. Then we see an old lady at the laundromat giving him advice that you should make the suit red, you dumbass. And then we have a montage. This is part of, like, a montage of, like, fight scenes and the suit changing And okay, not gonna lie, him killing a guy via Zamboni is really, really funny.
So this entire montage of the progression of how he goes from the white sweats to the actual suit, and he's like constantly he's going through his list of people, of contacts, to get to Francis.
To Francis.
Like the one thing where he's fighting the two women. And then he throws the one girl down and she starts crying a little bit. He's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Then he gets attacked from behind. He just chucks her. It's like, I don't know how this is supposed to work.
Is it sexist to hit you? Is it more sexist not to hit you?
Yeah. And then as you mentioned, the Zamboni, and it's like, you're going to die by this Zamboni.
In 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
So anyway, Deadpool finds the Galaxy Quest guy, Jared Smith, Agent Smith.
That's a haunting name of Jared.
He gives him something, and we're... Basically, this is the point that leads us to Wade at the overpass, waiting for Francis.
Not only that, but it should be noted that the first time that Wade meets the creepy agent guy, the agent guy, when he introduced... or pretty much starts talking to Wade the first time, it's like, Wade Wilson. And then he lists off what he did and how many confirmed kills. When they meet again in this scenario,
the Wade amount of kills has increased.
Yeah, he goes, yes. Last time I saw you, I had X amount of kills. That number has now grown to this. And then he kills two more, and then he gets up to him and he's like, would you like to become number, whatever. So it's kind of a cool how they brought that continuity from the first time they met to the second time.
Good. Cool. Okay. So now we are officially caught up with the present. Let's see. Wade gets into the taxi with Dipinder, and then One-Armed Wonder... One Wrist Wonder arrives home to the blind lady, whose name is Al, and he's got like this like itty bitty little baby hand. Al is allegedly blind and is putting together IKEA furniture, and that's something that they're supposed to do together with Deadpool. More masturbation jokes. Ha 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 ha. Seriously, like. I get it. It's just, it's not necessary. It comes off so... Here's the thing. Where this movie actually... Well, we'll talk about what works in this movie and what doesn't, but when Deadpool makes fun of other things, it's actually really funny. Deadpool breaking the fourth wall, Deadpool kicking ass, Deadpool making fun of superheroes. That's funny. Masturbation jokes are funny once. If you're lucky. Okay, so Francis arrives to what I dubbed the Mutant Slave Depot, and Angel stitches him up because Deadpool actually like sliced through him with his katana, which was pretty funny. Not for Francis, but he can't feel anything, so we don't care. Al tries to reassure Deadpool. Wade makes a crack about Ryan Reynolds. Weasel telling a joke. Weasel is like telling jokes at the bar. Francis shows up with friends.
No, it's just Francis and Angel.
Yeah. So Francis he sees Vanessa's picture and Weasel. So there's a point where Angel like grabs him by the neck and like you see everybody else in the bar drawing their guns and he's like, you picked the wrong place to do this. But they take the picture and Weasel calls Wade. So we are at a strip club, because this is an R-rated movie, and instead of just dropping F-bombs, we gotta show a bunch of naked women. Because this movie's apparently only for dude bros.
They don't show too much.
Yeah, honestly. They show enough. Anyway, so we get our obligatory, I guess it's not really obligatory in the Fox films, it's just coincidentally allowed Stanley cameo. Where he is announcing of a girl named Chastity, or as TJ Miller's character likes to call her, Irony. Ha! That was actually a solid joke. I'll give it that. So they find Vanessa, but Wade still doesn't talk to her. And someone, so her boss tells her that someone like an old BF is asking for her. She thinks it's Wade, but it's like so obviously not Wade. Francis sends a time and so he gets to the Deadpool gets to the alleyway in time to see like the coin purse that was his or something, and no Vanessa. So he knows that Vanessa has been taken. Francis tells Wade about a time and place where they're gonna meet and, you know, hash this out, which like, is this like a revenge thing for Francis now? Like he wants to kill Deadpool because Deadpool's going after him? Is that it?
Pretty much. The two are just going after each other at this point.
Yeah, this movie isn't exactly full of depth. So he, let's see, Francis, they collect all of the guns in the house, even Al's teeny weeny itty bitty little 45 caliber. Vanessa says Wade is dead. Ajax tells her he's alive. He keeps coming back to life. So Wade goes to the X-Mansion and we see Negasonic Teenage Warhead. Wade asks for help because it's like, hey, you guys are the only two X-Men I see. It's almost like the studio couldn't afford another X-Man. Wade is back in the taxi with Peter and NTW in the back, which is kind of funny because Peter is not taxi friendly. And there's a funny noise coming out of Dipinder's trunk. Apparently he took Wade's advice, which apparently he claims to not have given, about like, you know, killing the Bantu, I think his name was.
Yeah.
And Peter's like, I really don't understand why Peter thinks this man should be an X-Man. Like, I wouldn't, no. Okay. Still, so they arrive at this, like, shipyard, and this time, Dipinder gets not a high five, but a 10. Seriously, give this kid cash. But they arrive at the shipyard and this construction facility. There's just like this really old big ship, cargo ship, basically. So Deadpool left the duffel in the taxi, which is a callback to the first time very where he also leaves his stuff in the taxi. Dipinder must have like a cache of weapons right now in his car. And he's like, I know what I'm doing with it. And Bantu's not going to like it. And Wade actually calls Dipinder to try to get it back, but the phone falls in the car, and then Dipinder gets into a car accident, and Bantu's like crying in the trunk. So Francis is a dick, shocker. The Angel flies down to like confront them, and Wade makes jokes about the superhero landing. Negasonic burns off her, like, she was wearing this cool coat and she just like burns it off with her powers, which are not the same powers she has in the comics, by the way. She's like a telepath, I think, in the comics.
Well, I think keep in mind that you're still in the X-Men universe, so you still have that, you know, the gray areas of what was allowed from comics, the films and stuff like that because of X-Men.
No, this has nothing to do with that.
Remember,
they just changed the
Marvel
powers to be more practical. This has nothing to do with Marvel. This was Negasonic was a mutant. They were allowed to use mutants.
Yeah.
The issue is just like they just changed your powers. Similarly, how they changed Kitty's powers in Days of Future Past for no reason. At least here, there's a practical reason. Yeah. They wanted something kind of cooler looking and more like of an active power. So, like here, I'll forgive it. I have no emotional attachment to this character. Anyway, so Peter gets his metal butt kicked by Angel. Deadpool gives himself a wedgie and like waves the white flag and then sort of slices through everyone.
Except for one guy.
Yeah, he remembers him. He like knocks him out gently, which was very nice of him.
Yeah, it was like, hey, Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Your wife's still making that meal. It's so delicious. Boom.
Tuna casserole or something.
Yeah.
So Peter kicks Angel's butt finally. Oh, there's also a scene where like she's getting up and I guess Peter like covers her up because Janet Jackson situation. Yeah. I make all the old girl references.
And
she's like, that's so sweet. And then she kicks him. So Wade spells out Francis in the bodies. That was really funny. Ajax thinks that Wade is a romantic. That's nice of him. Negasonic gives Wade a power boost to land him on top of the deck of the ship. Vanessa is shocked to see Wade and a bit pissed. She is put into the oxygen deprivation tank. Did he have a spare? Because, like, I guess they had a spare because the one that Deadpool was in at the earlier gets blown up along with everything else. So kudos for having extras.
Well, I mean, keep in mind, I mean, when that facility went down, they just created a whole new facility. So the probably. Whole new facility had probably had that chamber, one or two there.
Anyway. So Ajax and Wade fight. One sword pierces a tank. Or the oxygen tank. One of Wade's swords pierces the tank so Vanessa can breathe and actually sets herself free. And she stabs Francis with the sword. Wade has a knife in his head, which is pretty funny because Ajax had stabbed him with the knife. And as he's, like, passing out and Vanessa's on the ground, he sees, like, these little cartoon characters and we start hearing Careless Whisper. Random cartoon sketches. And somehow Francis is still alive after all of this. Like, does Wade has a healing factor, but Francis doesn't. But I guess because he can't feel pain, he can still get go, even though his body's just, like, dying around him or whatever. So
adrenaline can do a hell of a thing, though. Adrenaline can do a hell of a thing.
So Negasonic saves Peter from being choked to death with a rebar. The ship is cascading for some reason. And Wade puts Vanessa back in a tank to save her.
The ship is cascading because Negasonic. Oh, right, because of Negasonic's blast.
Boom, yep. So Peter saves Negasonic from there's a little back and forth. There's falling and crashing. Negasonic and Peter find Vanessa. They pull her out. Wade's fine. Ajax is still alive, barely. Wade still wants Francis to fix him, but he can't. And there's this funny exchange of, like, you're a dumbass. This was the only, like, you know what's funnier than me thinking you could fix me when you couldn't? You telling me you couldn't fix me when I'm literally about to, when that was the only thing keeping you alive. Which only makes me question why Ajax Francis told Wade at the beginning when they're in their first fight that he could fix him. I guess it was because just to throw Wade off, but okay. So he shoots Francis. Peter tries Peter tries to do the whole, you could be a hero, Wade, and blah, 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 blah.
Four or five moments.
Yeah. Well, Wade clearly listens because he shoots Ajax straight in the face like he deserves.
And his point was, it's like, no offense, but what Wade just did to him was a lot more kinder than having to sit through Peter's speech.
Yeah. So Wade finally talks to Vanessa because it's been a couple of years. Wade apologizes to Vanessa after she, like, hits him a couple times. There's a parallel to their first conversation about whose life is worse. He takes off his mask and there's a picture of Hugh Jackman from, like, his magazine cover or something with the eye holes, like, poking out. And the funny thing is like, it's not taped on and there's no, like, wire. It's stapled. So she removes the staples. They kiss. Or she says, after adjustment and some drinks, they'll be fine. And then Peter makes a crack about language and that they should go. Promises to make Wade into an X-Men one day. And Peter and Negasonic leave. Vanessa and Wade kiss. And Careless Whisper plays again. He got the girl. Happy ending. Whoop-de-doo. And then there's an after credit scene, which is an homage to Ferris Bueller's Day Off, where Deadpool 2 teases Cable.
The actors that he lists for that.
Yeah.
Because, like, Keira Knightley, she could do it.
Yeah. This movie's okay. Like, it's better than Origins, but, like, if I had to rank it, I'd put it, like, slightly below the Wolverine. Like, the action scenes are solid. There's a few good jokes here and there, but it's the most, like, basic ass cookie cutter plot, which is a real shame because you could have done so many more things with Deadpool. Like, I know that they're limited with Fox footage, so they couldn't use like Death or Thanos and things like that, but like, you still could have, I think this would have been more fun if Deadpool had to like deal with the world of mutants and X-Men and things like that. Like, I think it would have worked better if it was a parody.
So keep in mind this, because you had mentioned it earlier, the budget for the film is $58 million estimated. That was the budget. So it was definitely one of the lowest budgets that they did for any of the X-Men films. So with that, you had obviously limitations.
But you could have saved some money by like not filming a sex montage, I feel like.
Yeah, but like, opening weekend in the US did over $132 million.
So it made three times its budget. I'm very happy for him. Yeah. But like, overall, it's just like, it's like a Deadpool fetish film, like, honestly. Having read a few appearances of Deadpool in, and like seen a couple of appearances and other things, part of the fun that I always liked Deadpool was that like he was very limited by the world around him. And like, I know people love to hate on the idea of a PG-13 Deadpool. I will, like, if there was a Deadpool 3, I would want it to be PG-13 just to see Deadpool struggle the entire film.
That's actually already, you did a PG-13 version of Deadpool 2.
Doesn't count!
But then 2, actually, but they do so much with it about the PG-13 rating.
It's just a different cut of the movie.
But then also at the same time, well, no, they filmed a whole new stuff just for it too. Because they made it almost like Princess Bride at the same time with Fred Savage. And that's where they make fun of the PG-13 stuff. But then two, it's pretty much been confirmed for reports that Deadpool 3 will be the first Marvel Disney R-rated film.
Right, but that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that, like, I like the idea of Deadpool being in a universe that he's limited. I like, honestly, this movie kind of took the fun out of Deadpool a little bit. Like, I don't care about the masturbation and all the sex jokes. Like, it was too much, and it wasn't... It lacked fun. It took itself just a little too seriously at times, because everybody else sort of doesn't question Deadpool like talking to the camera and things like that. Where like half the okay, you know what? I'm gonna do this. I wasn't gonna bring this up, but there's an Ultimate Spider-Man episode, the Disney XD animated series, where Deadpool does appear, and he's voiced by Will Friedle, and it's hilarious. And the whole thing is Deadpool being a jerk to Peter and constantly talking about how he's not allowed to use the K word because this is a children's show. Like, that was funny. And he keeps coming up with creative ways to say, he keeps saying, like, I'm going to destroy you, and I'm going to unalive you. Like, that's funny. Like,
And here's the thing. I think once Marvel introduces Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool into the universe with Deadpool 3, he's obviously going to be in the PG-13 films, and I, you know, in through crossovers and stuff like that. Yeah, it's happening. Ryan Reynolds has signed a multi-film deal, which involves him crossing over into the actual Marvel, into the MCU itself, to interact with other characters. So he's going to be put into PG-13 stuff. So you're going to see that.
Fine. If I have to see it, the writing better be better than this shit. I wouldn't mind also like a soft retcon of Deadpool's origins, just to get rid of, because they're probably going to do that anyway to get rid of the Fox smell. I just, like, there's not, It feels like, I know they did a lot and with a little, with the limits that they had, but it just feels slightly half-assed. And like, you can make Deadpool fun. And I guess I'll have to wait and see what Deadpool, the PG-13 version looks like, and Deadpool 2. Not looking forward to that, but I'm just like, I get that this was Ryan Reynolds' pet project. I'm glad that he cares so much about it. I'm glad he had a good time making the movie. I'm happy that it was successful, but I just cannot be bothered to give a fuck about this movie. Like, I just can't. Like the female characters are at least all unique and they have their own voice, all three of them. They all sort of look the same, but, you know, that's fine. Not in body, but just like they all have dark brown hair or black hair, and it's fine. Peter is, I feel like it would be funnier if you got like a really serious character instead of a sweet character you're trying to make into a joke, which is what they did with Peter. And to be honest, if this was my options, I'd rather take the X2 and X3 Peter than this. Peter deserves better than this. Instead, he's half glorified babysitter, half dimwit trying to recruit a dipstick like Wade into the X-Men. Like, no. Although, you know, we'll see what happens when the X-Men and the mutants actually make it into the Marvel Cinematic Universe and what they do with them.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, maybe, you know what, maybe part of it is Rob Liefeld and his Twitter and his obsession with Deadpool, because it's like the one character he actually remembers giving a shit about. That it was like, Marvel needs to do this and give me Deadpool 3. I'm like, Marvel doesn't have to give you jack shit. Marvel doesn't owe you, like just because you created a character that made two successful films, doesn't mean Marvel magically owes you or Disney or whoever a third film. If you get it, great. If not, like, that's life. Marvel's going in a different direction that didn't include Deadpool, which clearly is not the case. But, like, take a chill pill and sit down.
So I had mentioned a while back that I had a story about how I ended up seeing the film. Of course, I always knew I was going to see the film. And the day it came out in theaters was the day I had to take my parents to the airport. And I had been with MCW Pro Wrestling, and I had to do MCW the night before, and I didn't get home till 2 a.m. Wake up about 2 hours later to drive my parents to the airport. We actually get lost at the Pentagon, driving to Reagan Airport, and had a moment where I flipped out on my mom, which my dad completely supported me on, because I had been only 2 hours asleep. And then I got to go see the movie, and I'm just going to say it like this. Being with 2 hours of sleep, just being able to turn off your brain, this was a great movie to watch. Just, I enjoyed it, and then I went home, and then I ate food, and then I did stuff, because I caught the first showing of the day, because I wasn't going to go back to bed at that time. So I enjoyed it. I thought it was great. Sasha will disagree with this IMDb score, but Deadpool clocked in at 1 hour 48 minutes and got an 8.0 out of 10.
Oh, give me a break. It is not worth that. I'll give it a 7.2 at best. I'm sorry. It's just like, the movie is so superficial, it's not even funny. I can cut this plot down to, like, a sentence. Cranky All right. mercenary fights dude who ruined his face while being scared to talk to a girl. That is literally the plot of this entire movie. It was too much of the sex and the masturbation jokes. And, like, you can make that stuff, you can make those jokes as long as they're funny. Like, look at History of the World Part 1. They had an entire segment about the Caesar's wife, Nympho, short for Nymphomaniac. Like, And there was all these orgy jokes. They were funny. Like QuickTime Punch and all that jazz. Here, it's just kind of like, but the difference is Mel made the joke and he moved on. Here, masturbation joke. Okay, great. That was funny. Let's move on. Masturbation joke. Okay, we heard a masturbation joke. Like 5 minutes, like enough. Make a joke and move on. That being said, the parts I liked about this movie were the parts that made fun of other things. Like, him making fun of Green Lantern is hilarious. Like, I remember DC fans were one part found it funny, one part were upset because the movie sucked anyway, but they were still upset. And I'm not sure if they were upset about the movie sucking or just the fact that Deadpool's making fun of an already sucky movie. I don't remember, but the opening sequence was funny. You know, like Ryan Reynolds, as far as I understand, is a fantastic human. I'm very happy that he has a successful career. It just, this is just one of those films that, like, it's very clear it's not for me. Like, it's not my kind of superhero movie. And I'm not saying all superhero movies need to be, you know, cookie cutter PG-13 films, but this just wasn't my thing. And I'm going to have a lot more plot related problems when we do Deadpool 2. Because Deadpool 2 falls more into the category of, here's an X-Men cameo. Oop, there it goes. It's dead now. That doesn't really go anywhere, and it's just kind of pointless. And it's just like,
but that's part of the joke.
Unnecessary fan service. Yeah, except it's still stupid. If you're gonna be meta, at least do something good with it. Don't waste it. And they wasted it. Yeah, that's all I got. You can talk about how much, feel free to talk about how much you like this movie. I'm going to take a nap.
Actually, we're going to shift real quick. And because the Disney investor call was...
I hoped you would bring it up.
So obviously we knew about WandaVision being January 15th. They made it known that the What If animated series, which is the first animated series from Marvel Studios, will debut next summer. They also gave us the first full look at the new Loki series.
And Falcon and Winter Soldier, which now has a release date of March 19th.
Yep. We also got a look at Hawkeye, the Marvelous Miss Marvel, She-Hulk, Secret Invasion, which is going
Are they seriously calling it the Marvelous Miss Marvel?
Yep.
It's really Marvel?
Well, I think the show itself is just going to be called Miss Marvel, but...
Okay, good. That would make more sense.
But comicbook.com has it listed as the Marvelous Miss Marvel.
Okay, comicbook.com is wrong oftentimes, so...
Yeah. She-Hulk, Secret Invasion, which is going to star Samuel L. Jackson, and I really...
Whoa. You cannot just brush over the fact that Tatiana Maslany is going to play She-Hulk.
Hold on. No, I'm not brushing over. I'm listing the shows first... And then going right into the casting stuff, and then you can go over certain things. So I'm listing first, and then you can go back.
You should just do it one by one. So much easier.
Well, I'm also having the problem where I'm trying to keep this thing where the website has so many fucking advertisements, and everything keeps bumping up and down on me.
And that is why you don't go to comicbook.com.
It's pretty much every fucking website at this point now.
That's what Adblock is for.
Yeah, Secret Invasion, they had just also re-announced this today, apparently. It's going to star Samuel L. Jackson as Nick Fury and Ben Mendelsohn as Talos.
Talos, yes.
Yep. And then in casting stuff, they announced that Christian Bale is going to be joining the cast of Thor, Love and Thunder.
More reasons not to see this movie.
Where he's going to play Gore the God Butcher. They also announced that John Watts, who's the director of the Spider-Man films in the MCU, is going to be directing the Fantastic Four reboot into the MCU. And apparently that was the fight that Sony and Marvel had. It wasn't about Spider-Man. It was about John Watts directing films within Marvel.
Interesting.
That's what the Spider-Man fight was about.
Huh. All right. Continue.
Armor Wars is a new series that's going to star Don Cheadle. where he reprises his role of James Rhodes, aka War Machine. Ironheart is another show that they're bringing in. We got a couple things out of Guardians of the Galaxy. They announced that while they're going to be filming Guardians of the Galaxy 3, they're also going to film the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special, which will be released in 2022, which also James Gunn has already hinted that they're going to be making fun of the Star Wars Holiday Special from the 70s.
I mean, that's to be expected.
Also, they announced that they're going to be doing a series of original shorts called I Am Groot. Also, it was announced that that Marvel Studios will not recast Chadwick Boseman and the role of King T'Challa going into Black Panther 2. Ant-Man 3 was officially announced as Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. They also announced that Catherine Newton's going to play Cassie Lang and Jonathan Majors as Kang the Conqueror. And then we also were given new release dates. So the Thor movie is going to come out May 5th, 2022. Black Panther 2 will be July 8th, 2022. Captain Marvel 2 will be November 11th, 2022. And everything for Phase 4 will begin with WandaVision when it starts streaming on January 15th. Now you may go on about everything else.
Thank you. So in no particular order, let's talk about if anybody reads my blog. I know I have some people that listen to this from Tumblr. This won't be new to you, but I've had a couple more things to say since I've had time to sort of process the information. So let's start with WandaVision. Oh my God, I'm so excited. I can't even. I'm so excited. I'm going to be fangirling. And the fact that it comes out the day before my birthday is like just icing on an already amazing cake. I'm very annoyed that I still have to wait a month, but it is worth it to the start of my birthday weekend. And
but it kind of makes sense when you think about it. It's like 2020 has been such a shit show. Why don't
you gotta start it off on a high note?
Yeah. Why don't you start off the new year on a high note and kickstart Phase 4 of the MCU?
Which begs the question of like, why not release it on like January 8th? Why the 15th? But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'm happy. I'm so excited for this. I've been talking to people online about like who the villain is going to be. The shortlist is like, there is no shortlist. It's like everybody. High Evolutionary, Shathan, Mephisto, Nightmare. It could be anybody. But we know Nightmare will be involved in Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, which makes sense to sort of introduce him first. That leads into Doctor Strange. At the same time, Loki trailer sort of indirectly teased Mephisto, so maybe that's going to be a villain later on.
And also, one of the things that was also announced was that WandaVision, which leads into Doctor Strange 2, will then also lead into Spider-Man 3. So all three of them are interconnected with each other.
Oh, God, please do not make Mephisto the villain in Spider-Man 3. Please do not make
Mephisto the villain in Spider-Man 3. Okay, so being how for Spider-Man 3, they've announced that Tobey Maguire is returning, Andrew Garfield's returning, Kirsten Dunst is returning, Alfred Molina is returning, Jamie Foxx is returning, all in their original roles in their respective films.
It should be noted that during the Disney Insiders meeting, Marvel said nothing about Spider-Man. So all of these things are almost 100% confirmed, and I believe them. But that still doesn't mean that Mephisto can't be the villain, because Tobey Maguire or Andrew Garfield can still fuck things up with Mephisto. Yeah. Anyway.
But Owen Wilson's going to be in the Loki series.
I'm getting to that. Hold on. I'm still not done with WandaVision. You keep skipping ahead. So I'm just insanely excited. I'm especially excited to see what they do with Wanda and Vision's babies, which will be really, really fun because we will see them aged up in WandaVision. So that'll be really exciting. Please don't hurt them. Okay. So Falcon and Winter Soldier is going to be really, really cool. It definitely has some spy thriller vibes. And we have heard rumors that the girl that plays Yelena, who's like the second Black Widow, will also be in Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which I guess makes a more direct tie-in between Black Widow and Falcon and Winter Soldier, which is awesome.
Which would also explain why they're pushing that into March, because...
Yeah, to kind of align better with the eventual release of Black Widow.
Yep.
Okay. So I'm very sad that we did not get any trailers for the films of any kind, even though Eternals should be like in post-production. We know that Shang-Chi has recently finished filming. No footage was available, but Shang-Chi, but I'm very, very excited for it. I honestly could give a shit about the Black Widow movie. I was firmly in the, we needed a, like, I've never been a Black Widow fan. I didn't really much care for her in the films. I don't really, like, it's, I'm not that interested, especially because, like, her time, anyway. Point being, like, I'm still gonna go see it. I'm just, like, not, like, woo, oh my god, Black Widow movie! So, the only Hawkeye information confirmed, Hailee Steinfeld is Hawkeye, which, like, we've already, at this point, up to the Disney Insiders meeting, we'd already seen a lot of leaked footage, or leaked photos, I should say, which very clearly had Kate Bishop. Anybody who's read my blog know my thoughts about the Hawkeye series. I'm very annoyed that it's going to be based on Fraction's run. I'm even more annoyed that it looks like Clint is going to be mentoring Kate, which is just like the most asinine thing in the entire universe to me. For those that don't know, Kate Bishop was like a whole superhero and an Avenger before she met Hawkeye. She didn't even get the name Hawkeye from him. She got the nickname from Captain America because she stood up to him the way that Clint had done to him earlier on, and Clint was dead at that point. So before she even met Clint, she managed to fight against Kang the Conqueror. Oh, see what I did there? You catch that?
Yep.
Fight in a civil war, fight in the second Kree Skrull war on Earth, like not to mention breaking into a juvenile facility, like a juvenile, what's it called? Facility that experimented on mutants, fighting the Shocker, anyway. So I'm hoping this will sort of phase out Clint and introduce Kate, because that is very important. Secret Invasion. So I'm kind of excited about this, A, because we get Samuel Jackson back, we also get Talos back, and we saw the hint, I'm guessing this is what that after credit scene in Spider-Man Far From Home was going to be about, or how it's going to tie into. So the idea is that they're going to be talking about an invasion of a sect of Skrulls. I'm hoping the events of this will also probably lead to Captain Marvel 2. Captain Marvel 2 will have Monica Rambeau and Kamala Khan in a Captain Marvel team up. And it'll be a very marvelous team up. Two things I need from this. I need less Carol and more Monica. And I need less Carol and more Monica. Like, the end of this is Carol becoming a different... Carol can be a different superhero and Monica become... Nope. You know what? No, I take it back. I don't need Monica following in Carol's footsteps any more than she already has. Let Monica be her own superhero. Anyway, I do have a slight problem with how quickly they're introducing Kamala Khan. Not because I don't like Kamala. She's a fun character. I really like reading the current Ms. Marvel series. It's really good. But does the Earth even know who Carol Danvers is? Because, like, we've seen her on Earth. She's only ever interacted with Avengers. We've never seen her rescuing people on Earth. We've never seen her, like, on screen anywhere on Earth. I mean, plenty of things could have happened in the in-between years, and maybe we'll get a flashback, but it just sort of feels out of nowhere, because Carol's not...
Well, I think that's the thing with the whole Ms. Marvel show, is because that's coming out late 2021, and it's going to be a lead-in for Captain Marvel 2, which is, like, later in the year of 2022.
Still doesn't answer the question, though.
Maybe you're not right now.
Maybe. There's a... One of the things we saw is, like, there's, like, a Captain Marvel costume for sale, and I'm like, you know what? Tony Stark set up a PR department for the Avengers before he retired or something. I don't know. Or in the in-between years before he had a kid with Pepper. Fine. All right. Nothing too much to say about Armor Wars and Rhodey, other than like Rhodey's long overdue for like some major spotlight.
And it plays off the whole arc of Iron Man, of Tony Stark's tech in the wrong hands.
Yes. Speaking of Tony Stark or Stark-like tech, let's talk about Riri Williams. I haven't read too much of Riri just because I've never cared too much about, like, it's just, she never really interested me. I think she's a little too new, in my opinion, to introduce into the cinematic world, but she's popular, so fine, I get it. What Marvel is very clearly setting up here, and I will talk about the, so Ant-Man and Wasp has recast Cassie to the girl from Detective Pikachu, which is fine with me. I liked her there. I think she's going to be great. She looks like Cassie Lang. Like, when I closed my eyes and like looked up, you know, what Cassie Lang would look like in real life or thought about it, this is who I pictured. Or a blonde girl of some kind. Like, this is Cassie. So two things are important here. We're getting an adult Cassie, which we sort of already seen in Endgame, but again, and we're getting Kang the Conqueror. What do these two things have in common, Michael?
I don't know, Sasha. Tell us.
The Young Avengers. So for those that don't know, Young Avengers is one of the single greatest comic books in the entire world. It is written by Alan Heinberg, and the art is by Jim Chung. It was published in 2005. There's 12 issues, and it takes place in a world post-Avengers Disassembled, where the Avengers Mansion is destroyed. The Avengers have all kind of gone their separate ways. And a young man named Nathaniel Richards arrives to the present. And he finds something called the Vision Failsafe Program. And through this program, he finds other teenagers with powers. And the reason is all of these kids have a tie to the Avengers. We find out that Billy and his twin Tommy are the sons of the Scarlet Witch and Vision. We find that Teddy Altman is the son of the male Captain Marvel, who I talked about in the Captain Marvel review. And Cassie is Ant-Man's daughter. But Cassie is not found by the Vision Failsafe, and then she meets Kate, and the two team up. And this also leads to, I guess, back to Falcon Winter Soldier, because there have been some speculation that Eli Bradley will actually appear in this. And Eli is a founding member of the Young Avengers, and his story is incredible, and I highly recommend that you read Young Avengers. Read the Alan Heinberg run, nobody else's, of Young Avengers. So this is what they're setting up. Teddy will either be introduced, I think, either in Secret Invasion or in Captain Marvel 2, or sort of both. Maybe we'll get a little bit more hints at the Kree-Skrull conflict and how the Skrulls are really no better than the Kree, and maybe there's like some Skrull princess that fell in love with some great Kree hero or something. And then we'll get Teddy that way, and then we'll see maybe hints of him in during the Secret Invasion.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because, like, again, a lot of stuff also hasn't been told to us yet.
Yeah, but at this point, it's like seeing Thor, Iron Man. It's like seeing Thor and Iron Man and thinking, oh, this leads to an Avengers movie. Like, it's a very well-placed educated guess. Now, the educated guess continues because we also have a lot of these other young teen heroes. You have Ms. Marvel coming, you have Riri coming, which they're not young Avengers, they're part of the Champions, which is a different team of superheroes. But dear Marvel, not all superhero teenager teams are created equal. They are very different. But anyway.
And then you have She-Hulk.
Doctor Strange 2 is also, for better or worse, is introducing America Chavez, who is not a character I really like, honestly. She just lacks a personality to me. It's just like she has no other switch other than I'm gonna kick you in the face. And I just have a very hard time relating to her and finding her interesting enough. And like, she's always perfect. Like, I can't with her. And her solo run was absolute trash. Anyway, so all of these things in mind, we will eventually get some kind of young teen heroes film. I think that is pretty much Absolutely. It should be also noted that Oscar Isaacs was not confirmed to be in Moon Knight, as previously reported.
They didn't mention much about Moon Knight at all.
They did not, but they did sort of mention the complexities of the character. So I wonder if we are not going to get Oscar Isaacs as Moon Knight. My first choice is still David Diggs. So here's hoping. Mahershala Ali and Blade is still happening. Okay. Yeah, that's sort of all of my thoughts. I'm excited for Ant-Man and Wasp, obviously, and Captain Marvel. Those are kind of like the two big things I'm most excited about. I'm super psyched for Falcon and Shang-Chi, and oh, I guess we didn't talk about Loki, but like...
The Loki trailer is really good.
It is. I still cannot be bothered to care about Loki, but it is interesting because I think Loki will also play a part in, indirectly, I think, in the events that of WandaVision, Doctor Strange, and Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Especially if that scene with Mephisto pans out. Because there's that scene where Owen Wilson's character is meeting a girl at a church or something. And there's like this mosaic window that's really pretty, except it kind of looks like a reddish devil. I'm like, hey, that's Mephisto. But yeah. At this point, anybody that has seen my Twitter account or my Tumblr knows that I have a lot of thoughts. I have a lot of feelings. Not all of those feelings are necessarily positive, but there they are. If you have questions about my thoughts or want to chat with me, obviously tweet me, call me, don't call me, beat me, tweet at me, and I will respond.
And of course, there was one announcement, though, that made me super happy. And it's not Marvel-related, but Disney made the announcement that the Mighty Ducks are back.
Oh my God, they did! Yes! Yeah,
it's gonna be
pretty exciting. Yeah, also slightly terrified for the Chip and Dale series, not going to lie.
Yeah, that one's a little weird. That's actually a movie, I believe.
Yeah, and it's a mix of live action and animation, which means it's going to be live action with CGI mice.
Yeah, so that's going to be interesting. Just like with Marvel, how they announced like a lot of stuff, they also announced a lot of stuff in regards to Star Wars.
Yep, which I don't have the patience to sit through or digest. Just there's a lot of cool Star Wars things happening. There's a lot of cool Disney movies and Disney original series stuff are coming. Disney is really taking the bull by the horns with streaming, and there's a lot of stuff coming. So if you, I encourage you to research and look it up and sort of see what's been happening because it's pretty cool. So with that, Michael, where can the people find you on the social medias?
You can find me on Twitter at TheLindenBaum75, Facebook at Facebook.com/X75Productions, the website TXHTHockey.com, and for the show specific, Nerdy-Notions. And then obviously you can also find me on Twitch on Sundays, Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. where I'm playing video games. And yeah. That's where you can find me.
And for me, of course, you can find me on geekycaptainwrites.wordpress.com, geekr101.tumblr.com, geekycaplin, Kaplan with a K, like Billy Kaplan, on Twitter, and geekycaptain on Instagram. And of course, you can also catch Mike and me, as well as our friends Brian and Ben, on the website here on our sister show, Voices from the Grid, where we painstakingly... yet joyfully and frustratingly review every single episode of Power Rangers ever made.
Yep, and that will be coming back in January.
So thank you so much, and join us next time as we tackle the literal apocalypse of X-Men films, and I suffer further. Enjoy.